This guy makes it much better. We are joined by a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. He is a good friend of the program. He is Charles Robinson. Charles, before we get to the games, first of all, great to have you back. Before we get to the games, take a step back. After the last 6 months, how did it feel to you to have the NFL back?
I mean, it felt, I think it was like the exclamation point on the longest 6 months of probably the NFL's had since maybe 9/11. I mean, like, it was just, I think seeing Philip Rivers in a Colts jersey, seeing Adrian Peterson in a Lions jersey, seeing Tom Brady in a Buccaneers jersey, it was all a shock to the system because it all happened at once. But, you know, I think it was just one of those situations where you don't really understand how long this has been, everything that's happened over the last 6 months, until you realize you get the oxygen all comes back into the room all at once.
We're talking to Charles Robinson. That's a good way to put it. You know, you mentioned a number of guys in different uniforms. Like, Adrian Peterson, to me, looked really unusual in a Lions uniform, but I love that fit. He had a really productive day. And then the Lions do what they did, right? They led the Bears 23-6 going into the fourth. They end up losing 27-23 after DeAndre Swift had that ball. He had that win in his hands. Even for the Lions, Charles, how brutal of a loss was that?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, the game was well in hand. I mean, you know, Matt Stafford also, you know, feels a terrible pick in the fourth quarter. But you're right. I mean, it comes down to a rookie dropping what was, I mean, as garden variety a catch as you can possibly make, you know, in that situation. I think Swift's going to be a good player. You know, the fact is he got himself open in a situation where he could have won the game and he just drops it. But Adrian Peterson, probably when you look at the Lions, you're like, well, what was the big highlight of the day? You have a guy it feels like he's been in the league forever, and yet he almost looked like your best player, on a day where you had a bunch of, you know, injuries, guys who didn't play, you know, Swift drops the touchdown. Probably rather be looking at Swift and say, hey, we got a rookie who looks fantastic and not a vet who should be in the winner of his career. But that's sort of where Detroit's at, and, you know, breathe a little bit of life into Mitch Trubisky. He gets a 1 week reprieve, although I don't think Trubisky played particularly well for Chicago. It'll keep everybody off his back for a week.
Exactly. Both those things, right? He did not play particularly well, but he made some plays when he had to, and then the Lions do what the Lions do. What did you make of the Patriots offense and how Cam Newton looked running it?
I don't think you can keep that up. So much of the offense was predicated on Cam running the football, and we've seen historically. Now, I think he's healthy. He looks fantastic. Number one, that was what I walked with. Like, wow, this guy's really healthy. Like, he looked fantastic, and we spent months and months and months where if you talk to teams prior to him being signed by the Patriots, it was, hey, what's his ankle like? You know, what's his knee like? What's his hip like? And then, obviously, you know, he's had all the shoulder problems. And so it was just like, we don't know if Cam's healthy. He looked as healthy to me as, you know, he has really since his MVP season. So that's a big upside for the Patriots. But that said, you can't have games where he's running 12, 13, 14, 15 times and your offense is really predicated on him, you know, getting out in space and moving, because eventually, you know, teams are going to tattoo him. And you know, so I don't think the Patriots, at some point, they're going to have to figure out a little more balance in that offense between, you know, throwing it and running it. But he looked like everything they could have wanted out of him when they signed him. He energized the team. Like, his buy-in is ridiculous at this point. He and Josh McDaniels are on the sideline looking like, you know, they've been pals for a decade. And, you know, I think the Patriots, if anything, they could probably tune up this contract now, because you shouldn't be the 28th highest paid player on a 53-man roster. I know there's incentives there to boost that deal, but they just need to guarantee him some 2020 money, because he's your starting quarterback now. That's not going away. And you've gotten, really, I think up to this point, everything you could have asked for out of Cam.
Do you know what? I don't want you to gloss over that point. I was going to ask you about that anyway, Charles Robinson, my guest, because you did tweet that, and then you talked about it on your podcast as well, the argument that they should give this guy a pay bump. I fully support what you're saying, but for those who do not get that, why should they pay him more than they already are?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. I mean, number one, you know, if this is representative of what he is, like in terms of the leader, Bill Belichick said nothing but great things about him. I mean, he's almost gushed about Cam for a month now. And then, you know, you see how he interacts with David Andrews. You see the offense. And remember, this is a first game with no passing program in the offseason, no mini camps, you know, no preseason games. And yet, you know, it looked like he had pretty good chemistry inside that offense. You're thinking to yourself, like, hey, we're going to want to extend this guy. Like, you know, if we can keep him healthy, he should have a good, you know, 2, 3, 4 years left in him. We're thinking about contract extension. I think if you do the right thing now and you say, look, we had questions about where your health was going to be. We incentivized your deal. But what we've seen so far has shown us that you're everything we had hoped. So we're going to get some money on the books now for you in 2020. And frankly, I think that would do wonders at the negotiating table. Now, look, I'll say this, though. Everybody I talk to in New England, they think this is where Cam wants to be. Like, this isn't even a question that, you know, Cam could actually leave, you know, this franchise at this state. Like, he is as happy as he has been in years. So, you know, the Patriots may not even need to bump him to make those contract extension talks go well if this continues out. But I think it's just the right thing to do. You don't want a guy who's literally the marquee centerpiece of your team and one of the biggest highlights in week one. If this is representative of where this is going, you don't want to be the franchise that says, hey, we got $30 million under the cap. We're not going to do the right thing and give this guy the pay bump.
Charles Robinson is joining us. All right, so what about the flip side of that? How did Tom Brady look to you, and what did you make of the way Bruce Arians talked about Tom Brady and those two INTs after the game?
Well, he looked like a guy who needed the preseason, which is interesting because Tom was probably one of the more active quarterbacks in terms of, like, getting guys, you know, out, working out outside of the facility, trying to get some chemistry with some of the Buccaneers players. But, you know, when I watched him, like, he's just making mistakes that frankly look like, you know, somebody that could have used, you know, an off season with a new team, getting chemistry, getting, you know, timing down on certain routes, understanding maybe what your second, third, fourth receivers are doing in a route tree and, you know, can they make site adjustments? But the funny thing was, as Arian said, and I thought this was what was so key about this, he put it on Tom. He said, look, he threw two interceptions that were his fault. Like, Mike Evans made a correct route adjustment. Like, he had the right depth on it. Like, he knew what he was doing. And Tom, you know, made the mistake there. And then on the pick six, you know, Tom just threw a bad ball. You know, he threw a ball on the inside, made it possible for Janoris Jenkins to jump it and take it back for a touchdown on a pass that should have been on the outside and crossed the face of his receiver. Did not happen. And, you know, I think Bruce Arians coming out and holding him accountable and saying, look, those were Tom problems is, I think it's key. I think it sends the message to the team like, hey, I'm not afraid to challenge this guy. It's at the end of the day, we have expectations for him and he's got to be right. And also, I think it shows that Arians knows, like, Tom Brady can handle this. He can handle being criticized. He can be handled saying, hey, you did the wrong thing here. Let's make sure it's fixed. And, you know, I think that's leadership from the top and the fact that, you know, Arians is suggesting to the rest of us that he's already got the kind of relationship with Tom Brady where they can have that. If there are failures there, they can be completely honest about it up front. And I think in the long run, it's probably a good thing for Tampa Bay.
Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, joining us for a few more moments. All right, so you had a strange offseason, right? It didn't seem to impact the Packers offense at all. How did Aaron Rodgers look to you yesterday?
Yeah, that was surprising. I think Rodgers, honestly, that entire, you know, setup for the Packers, particularly against you know, I expect the Minnesota Vikings, particularly that secondary, is going to have some struggles. You know, as the season goes on, there's a lot of guys playing there that are still getting their legs under them. But, I mean, Rodgers, watching him, to me, there were some passes in that game where I was like, this looks like the 2016 Aaron Rodgers. I mean, zip, the movement, he looked really healthy moving around. He created some plays. His arm looks fantastic. And remember, this was an off season where it was like, okay, they added Devin Funchess, who then opts out. You know, they drafted Jordan Love instead of adding skill position pieces, particularly at the wideout spot. You know, but Marquez Valdez-Scandling looked fantastic in this game. Devontae Adams is who he is. But to see Rodgers spread the ball around to different guys, to see chunk plays from multiple wide receivers, that was about as good a start as you could have expected from Aaron Rodgers. There were just things that you saw on the field where I didn't think we still had this Aaron Rodgers. Now, we'll see if this extends past week one, but if that's representative of where he's at, and I almost wonder if maybe his health wasn't where it needed to be, you know, as the season went on last year, he looked as healthy and as sharp as he has to me in years.
Still elite, if you ask me. Charles Robinson joining us. All right, one more guy I want to ask you about. You made the point in the past about Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson taking enormous leaps forward in their second seasons. Can you see Kyler Murray doing the same thing?
I mean, Murray came out of the box like looking like that guy that, you know, we saw Mahomes year one to year two as a starter take a big step. We saw, you know, Lamar Jackson year one to year two take a big step. And you're kind of like, okay, well, who's the guy who factors now who can take that next big step from year one to year two? And you're thinking it's Murray. I mean, offensive rookie of the year last year. Let's see if he can come out and immediately show strides. And he did. And not only did he show strides, but he did it with DeAndre Hopkins, who you went out and got. You said, we're going to get you the marquee number one guy. Let's see if you can make it worth what, you know, what we gave up for DeAndre Hopkins, what we paid DeAndre Hopkins, insane amount of money. And what does he do? He throws 14, you know, receptions to Hopkins, a dominant performance between those two guys. Look like they've been playing together for 5-6 years already. But then, you know, Murray's running, you know, 13 rushes for 91 yards. He looked like, to me, the guy who came out of Oklahoma where teams are saying, look, he is a throwing quarterback who can run it. Don't worry about the size. He can be a dominant player on the NFL level. He's special. That's why he's the number one pick. And one thing I'd point out, he did this without Christian Kirk having a big game. And all I heard over the last month out of Arizona, when you talk to people there, was that Christian Kirk can really factor and be a great player for them. And Christian Kirk didn't even really show in this game. So, you know, Murray to me looks like that guy that, you know, if there's sort of a really quiet dark horse MVP candidate who could start to really show up leaps and bounds week over week this season, it's going to be Murray.
Charles Robinson, my guest, and you are just crushing this thing. So many topics. One last thought. I got about 60 seconds. What did you make of the offensive PI call on Michael Gallup in the final minute of last night's game?
Yeah, it was trash. I mean, like, I think they kill the officials here. I mean, it wasn't, you know, they missed, I think, a few calls in the Rams-Cowboys game. But, you know, Jalen Ramsey, I think when you look back at that, particularly considering it's a critical moment, they, you know, put them in a position where they could have kicked a field goal in that situation, you know, at least tied the game. And you got two guys who are 50-50 hand fighting. Ramsey gets the call, but, you know, I think it's the call for the vet. He sold it. You kind of watch it. He threw his head back during the play. I think he knew he had a, you know, Michael Gallup had a step on him. So Ramsey kind of pulled out a trick and made sure that, you know, the official sort of saw the head jerk that, you know, I think he overplayed. But, it's unfortunate for Dallas. They shouldn't have been in that situation anyway. The offense could have functioned, I think, a little better than it did last night. But, hey, this is what you extend, you know, Ramsey for. Jalen Ramsey's, you know, arguably the best cornerback in the game. And, you know, he won a game, I think, for the Rams, or at least he sealed a game for the Rams with a little, you know, trick out of the bag that only a veteran has.
A little trick out of the bag, man. He was acting like he got hit by a truck, and it worked. Senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. No one better than Charles Robinson. My man, great job, Charles. Appreciate you. Thank you so much. Charles Robinson, he is so good.